Hi and welcome to Recap Revision. This episode is going to be about energy changes. In a chemical reaction, energy is conserved. However, reactants and products have different amounts of energy, so it is transferred to and from the surroundings in order to conserve it. In an exothermic energy change, the thermal energy is transferred from the chemicals to the surroundings. The temperature of the surroundings gets hotter. Examples of these include combustion reactions, oxidation reactions, and acids reacting with alkalis. In a reaction profile, you should see the reactants have more energy than the products. Everyday uses include burning fuels, self-heating cans, and hand warmers. In an endothermic energy change, thermal energy is transferred from the surroundings to the chemicals. The temperature of the surroundings gets colder. Examples include thermal decomposition reactions and acids reacting with metal hydrogen carbonates, for example, citric acid plus sodium hydrogen carbonate. In a reaction profile, you should see the reactants have less energy than the products. Everyday uses include sports injury cold packs. Reaction profiles are energy level diagrams. They can show the relative energy of the reactants and products, the overall energy change, and the activation energy, which is the minimum energy particles need to react when they collide. You all need to know about required practical 4, temperature change in reactions. There are many factors that affect the temperature change in a reaction which can be investigated. Reactions can be done in solution in a polystyrene cup for insulation and the temperature change measured. The first part of the practical is to see how changing the mass of a reactant affects the temperature change. For example, sodium hydrogen carbonate reacts with hydrochloric acid in an endothermic reaction. 30 cm cubed of 2 moles per decimeter cubed concentration of hydrochloric acid was placed in a polystyrene cup and the temperature was measured. 1 gram of solid sodium hydrogen carbonate was added and the mixture was stirred. The drop in temperature was measured. The experiment was then repeated with 2, 3, 4 and 5 grams of sodium hydrogen carbonate. The conclusion was, the greater the mass of sodium hydrogen carbonate used, the more the temperature falls. The second part of the experiment is to see how changing the volume of a reactant affects the temperature change. For example, sodium hydroxide reacts with hydrochloric acid in an exothermic reaction. 25 cm cubed of 2 moles per decimeter cubed concentration of sodium hydroxide was placed in a polystyrene cup and the temperature measured. Then, 40 cm cubed of 2 moles per decimeter cubed concentration of hydrochloric acid was added, but 5 cm cubed at a time from a burette and the temperature measured. The conclusion was, the greater the volume of acid added, the greater the temperature rise, up until 25 cm cubed had been added, but after this, the temperature rise reduces. When you plot graphs, here are some key points to remember. The independent variable goes on the x-axis, with the dependent variable on the y-axis. The scale on each axis should use more than half the available space, and axes should be labelled using units. If there is a pattern, then a best fit line should be drawn, which could be straight, drawn with a ruler, or curved. There should be a similar number of points above and below a best fit line. Sometimes there are two best fit lines that meet where the relationship changes. An independent variable is the variable that we change. In the first part of the experiment, it was the mass of the sodium hydrogen carbonate, and in the second part of the experiment, it was the volume of acid. The dependent variable is the variable that we measure. In both experiments, it was the temperature change. The control variables are the variables that must be kept the same to make it a fair test. In the first part of the experiment, the volume of acid, the concentration of acid, and the particle size of sodium hydrogen carbonate was kept the same. In the second part of the experiment, the volume of sodium hydroxide in a cup, the concentration of sodium hydroxide, and the concentration of acid was kept the same. Thank you. Energy is needed to break a chemical bond. However, when a chemical bond is made, energy is released. The energy change for a reaction can be calculated using bond energies. When you have a question concerning finding the energy change in a reaction, the question will often show in the reaction the reactants and products are in bond form. First of all, find out which types of bonds are there and how many of each type are there on the reactant side and the product side. Split the reactants and the products separately. Then, once you have found the types of bonds and how many there are, times them by the bond energy in the table. Then, add up the bond energies on each side of the reaction, reactants and products. Once you have your total, use the equation energy change equals energy needed to break bonds in reactants minus energy released making bonds in the products. This will calculate the energy change. If it's a positive number, the reaction is endothermic, as less energy is released making bonds than is needed to break bonds. If the number is negative, it is exothermic, as more energy is released making bonds than is needed to break bonds. A lot of students refer to energy being needed to make bonds. This is wrong. Energy is released when bonds are made. Cells and batteries provide a portable source of electricity. They can be rechargeable or non-rechargeable. All cells contain chemicals which react together to supply electricity. A battery is two or more cells joined together. A simple chemical cell can be made by placing two different metals in an electrolyte. An electrolyte is a liquid that conducts electricity, for example, sodium chloride solution. In the sodium chloride solution, there may be two metal strips attached to crocodile clips, and the crocodile clips may have wires attached to a voltmeter. There are several factors that affect the voltage or potential difference produced by the cell. These include the metals, the greater the difference in reactivity between the metals, the greater the voltage, the identity of the electrolyte, and the concentration of the electrolyte. In a fuel cell, there is a continuous supply of fuel into the cell, and so it provides a continuous supply of electricity. It doesn't go flat or need recharging. The chemicals used are a fuel, often hydrogen, and oxygen from the air. The fuel is oxidized electrochemically within the fuel cell, producing a voltage or potential difference. Many students confuse anodes and cathodes. In electrochemical cells, the anode is the negative electrode and the cathode is the positive electrode. In electrolysis, it is the opposite way round, with the anode as the positive electrode and the cathode as the negative electrode. In a fuel cell, hydrogen enters the anode. Here it is oxidized electrochemically, as it is losing electrons, and it becomes H+ ions. As the H+ ions move between electrodes through the electrolyte, electrons are moving between electrodes through a wire. Once the H+ ions reach the cathode, the oxygen is also entering the cathode, and so are the electrons moving between the electrodes. Here, the H+ ions are being reduced as they are gaining electrons. Also, the hydrogen is now reacting with the oxygen to form water, and water exits the cathode. The overall reaction in a hydrogen fuel cell is hydrogen plus oxygen to water. In a non-rechargeable cell, the battery goes flat and the voltage drops to zero when the reactions inside stop because the reactants have been used up. Alkaline cells are non-rechargeable cells. Advantages of this type of cell is that they are the cheapest type of cell. However, there are lots of used cells to dispose of which contain toxic chemicals and they can be damaging to the environment. Rechargeable cells can be recharged because the chemical reactions can be reversed when connected to an external electric current. Example includes lithium-ion cells in mobile phones. Advantages include that they can be used many times, and they are cheaper than fuel cells. However, they take time to recharge and are more expensive than non-rechargeable cells. A fuel cell has a continuous fuel supply, so doesn't need to go flat or need recharging. Examples include hydrogen fuel cells. Advantages of this type of cell include that the only waste product is water, and there is a continuous supply of electricity, as long as there is a continuous supply of fuel. However, they are very expensive, they often use hydrogen which is flammable, and fossil fuels may be used to make hydrogen. Thank you for listening to this recap revision podcast on energy changes.